Joining us now, Daniel Turner, founder, executive director of Power the Future, outlining this big, massive mistake, getting away from energy independence and the Keystone XL pipeline. You know, okay, these radical green groups and the Paris Accords. Now, this article about me just takes me to task. Hannity says it's a disaster week. What is he talking about? I'm like, yeah, if I worked for the Keystone XL pipeline, I think I'd be a little ticked off. Anyway, Daniel, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me on, Sean.
And also with us, Steve Moore, economist, author of Trumponomics, Inside the America First Plan to Revive Our Economy. Daniel, you said something that really fascinated. You said what's fascinating about the Keystone is how unfascinating the project actually is. And you talked about its marvel of engineering, an extraordinary accomplishment of human mechanical skill, 1,200-mile pipeline from Alberta, Canada, to the Gulf Coast, carrying crude to be refined, an incredible infrastructure project that created a lot of jobs. Now, I know, you know, Biden's claiming, oh, there's going to be very few jobs that are lost here. And Pete Buttigieg saying, no, these jobs, you know, we want them replaced with good union jobs. It's easy for him to say. He just got a new job.
Yeah, it is remarkable to see the lack of empathy that Joe Biden and Pete Buttigieg have showed for the thousands of people who have lost their jobs overnight. Right, there are married couples right now who are figuring out how to move forward because they have lost their sole source of employment. And they're in these red states, states like Nebraska and the Dakotas, states that Joe Biden, quite frankly, doesn't care about and would only visit if he needed their electoral votes. Mayor Pete said the priority is fulfilling the president's promise on climate change. There is a plan for the Guatemalan immigrants who are crossing the border. There is a plan for everybody, but there is no plan for these thousands of American energy workers who are losing their jobs. They are just told to go pound sand, and that is absolutely immoral that this president is doing that to these people.
And by the way, the estimates are, you know, thousands of temporary jobs, additional jobs directly, indirect jobs associated with it, about $2 billion in wages we're talking about, Stephen Moore. I even noticed the Canadians, there was a Bloomberg piece out today that the leader of Canada's oil heartland calling this decision to cancel Keystone XL an insult. They're urging the Prime Minister, Trudeau, to consider retaliation in this case. And anyway, their premier, Jason Kennedy, said in a press conference it's an insult and said Trudeau should demand the U.S. administration sit down and discuss the project in the context of environmental climate security policy. And if that fails, Canada should be willing to impose meaningful punitive measures against its biggest trading partner. Well, we can see they're reasserting their muscle against America.
Well, you know, Sean, I was struck by that quote from the Biden administration saying what we want is good paying union jobs. That's exactly what these are. You know, I've spent a lot of time in the oil patch in the United States, in the Dakotas and in Texas and even up in Canada. And these are not $15 an hour jobs. These aren't $15 an hour jobs. These are jobs that pay, you know, for the truckers, the pipe fitters, the construction workers. They're hard hat jobs that pay many times over $100,000 a year. So these are exactly the kind of, you know, good paying union jobs that Biden promised that he would create rather than take away. By the way, shame on the, you know, some of these unions actually endorsed Biden. Did you know that, Sean?
I mean,
How crazy is that?
I mean, the cavalier, basically it was Buttigieg and Biden to workers on Keystone XL drop dead. I mean, they just don't care. And when you think about our relationship with Canada, they pretty much told Canada, shove it. And that's going to impact their economy. But he's giving in to the environmental extremists, as we all said he would. What is the impact of the climate accords, the Paris Climate Accord, which actually says that China is a developing nation? They don't put the same restrictions on China, the biggest polluter.
And it is remarkable that China was exempt from this. And what the United States has done under this administration is surpassed the goals of the climate accords without being in it under the Trump administration. So now that we are joining it for no apparent reason, we're also on the hook now for billions of dollars that will go to a UN climate slush fund. Who is spending this money? What are their projects? What oversight is there? Do I trust the UN with billions of taxpayer American dollars? So again, it's this globalist cabal that punishes America, will impose false sanctions and false mandates on America when we've achieved the spirit of the Accords, which is lower our emissions. We did that under President Trump, and that was never celebrated by the environmental left.
Go ahead, Steve.
So I was just going to make another point. You know, you talk about Canada being a loser here. Clearly they are, because Canada and the United States, Canada and the United States have more oil and gas and coal than just about any other, you know, region of the world. We have more than, Saudi Arabia. We have more of this than Russia and all these other countries. But the big winner here from both United States re-entering the worst treaty in the history of the United States, the Paris Climate Accord, and discontinuing these infrastructure projects like the pipelines, is right now, I mentioned this on your show, I think, last month, right now as we're sitting here, there's a $12 billion pipeline that's being built from Siberia and Russia to China. And so, I mean, what's wrong with this picture, Sean? So Russia and China, our two biggest enemies, are building a pipeline so they can get all of the energy that China needs at low prices. And we can't build pipelines here in the United States. Meanwhile, while they're doing pipelines, the other thing people have to realize is China right now is building, we don't know exactly, but somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 to 200 new coal plants. So every time we shut down a coal plant in the United States, China builds 10 of them. How is that reducing climate change?
I mean, that's such a great point. And by the way, haven't our carbon emissions levels gone down in recent years?
Way down. And way
absolutely.
Down many of the countries that are in the Paris Climate Accord, none of them, by the way, of the 30 major countries that have been in that climate change agreement, 28 of them haven't reached their targets.
Yeah. And you were going to say, Daniel?
The remarkable thing about what President Trump achieved and got very little credit for on the global community, or especially in the environmental community, is lowering our emissions while also making America the world's largest oil and gas producer. We did not discover any new oil fields. We did not invent any new technology. What President Trump did is he allowed the free markets to do what it does best. That means that potential was always in America for every single president going back in history. All that potential of America was there, and they wouldn't let it come to the market. President Trump unleashed the power of the free market, and it does what it always does, which is produce more for less while improving the status of the average person.
I found the statement of Buttigieg in particular, this hearing with Ted Cruz, I mean, it literally, I'm like, oh, my gosh. You really don't care. I mean, he put. Look, if you're working, and we know that there are how many millions of people that have been displaced in terms of jobs as a result of, you know, rigid government shutdowns, especially in places like New York and California and elsewhere, as a result of COVID-19. Okay, now we're gonna have illegal immigrants coming in, and they're going to be made legal, and they'll be their path to legalization. No more building the border wall, putting handcuffs on ICE. They can't even do their job anymore and enforce the laws of the land as per Biden. So we're going to have more competition for the jobs that do become available, as hopefully one day we get to the point where the country opens up completely, maybe late spring and early summer. Steve Moore.
There is one constant theme of every single person who has been appointed to a high-level job in the Biden administration. And you know what that is, Sean. They are climate change fanatics. They care more about climate change than the health of the American citizens and jobs and COVID. It's all climate change. So this, I am going to predict, Sean, this is the tip of the iceberg. You're going to see multiple more kinds of regulations like this on the American economy. And it is, Dan is right. These have very negative effects on America's ability to produce energy. And the big winners are our biggest enemies. And one other thing.
Russia and China in particular and countries that hate us in the Middle East, real quick.
Yeah. People say, oh, we're not going to need oil anymore. We're going to use electric cars. Okay, fine. Maybe 20 years from now, everybody's going to have a Tesla. How are you going to charge the batteries without natural gas, without electricity, which comes from natural gas and coal? I mean, these people can't figure this stuff out. Natural gas reduces pollution. It doesn't increase pollution. That's why we need the pipelines.
Well, and everybody better get ready. Your heating bills are going to soar. Your gas prices are going to soar. It's inevitable. It's a simple supply-demand crisscross dictating price, and we'll be artificially reducing the supply, and that means you pay more, which is exactly what they want, which is sad. All right, Steve Moore, thank you. Daniel Turner, thank you.